Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. And since we've ended our last podcast last week, something amazing happened. Bryce Harper made a decision. I know it's old news by this point, but we have not talked about it on this podcast, so it's time to talk about it. Bryce Harper has signed on the dotted line a 13-year, $330 million contract, and that contract is with the Philadelphia Phillies. With no opt-out in any year, so he's stuck there. He's stuck in Philadelphia, and he claims he wants to end his finish. He wants to retire in Philadelphia. So, with that being said, it's a long time coming for this to happen. We've had in the past, so this month of March, if I'm not mistaken, actually no, Machado signed in February. So, but this offseason is legendary, historical, because we've had two $300 million contracts, $300 million or more dollar contracts. But there was only one in history before then. Now we have three in history that have exceeded over $300 million. With Machado, of course, at $300. Stanton, who had his $325 million contract. And now Harper with his $330 million contract. So, with that being said, was it worth the wait? And is the contract in favor of the Phillies or is it in favor of Bryce Harper? Because Bryce Harper apparently was reported to be getting a $45 million a year contract to the Yankees. But with that, it would have been, I think, like a four-year $140. It was something of that nature. So it was a four-year, it was a shorter-term contract with less total money, but it was still a yearly price of $45 million. I think it was like 4 years, $140 million. Something like that. I am unsure which one it actually, or what the actual contract name was, but I just know that the Dodgers offered him a $45 million a year contract. I think it was over 4 years. Still uncertain how that all went, but he chose to take less yearly wages, but total money is more because 13 years is quite a bit. And, of course, when you talk about a 13-year contract at $330 million, that's still a ton of money. But, again, 13 years. So, the question remains, is it a steal for the Phillies to get himself on such a long-term contract and give him all the money they could afford him to get? Or is Trout getting, or not Trout, excuse me, well, speaking of Trout, actually, we'll get on that later, but is Harper getting the better end with $330 million? That is yet to be determined based on how the first season of this contract goes. But during his press conference, I guess his introductory press conference, if you, I guess that's the right way of putting it, he kind of made a blunder. And the blunder is he said he wanted to bring a championship to D.C. He's not in D.C. anymore, obviously. So I guess he was so used to saying that term that he completely forgot he's no longer part of the Washington Nationals and now a part of the Philadelphia Phillies. But with that being said, I have to make a point that this might not be the only move they make, the Phillies make, in the next couple of years, because Harper has said publicly he's going to talk to Mike Trout and try to recruit him to the Phillies when his contract's up, and I believe in 2021, roughly around there. And if that does happen, and somehow, some way, the Phillies end up getting both Harper and Trout, arguably the best two players in the league, I would say this is the new version of a super team. I know it's just two guys out of nine in that circumstance. I mean, two outfielders and two power hitters, sure, but it's still like it would still be considered a super team. I truly believe that. And I think people would be like, oh, this is the Warriors of the MLB now. That's basically what my prediction is if this actually does happen. But I think the Angels will have something to say about it based off the fact that they will be extending Trout as they'll be pushing to extend Trout as hard as they possibly can to get him to stay in Anaheim, Los Angeles, Angels of Anaheim, California, Planet Earth, whatever our remember me and Mark's joke was. But regardless, if I had to make a guess on what the future holds for Mike Trout, I don't see him changing uniforms anytime soon, or at all for that matter, because I just think the Angels are going to push hard. They will push hard to keep him on the Angels, and they will basically succumb to his will and maybe overpay. People can claim maybe they will overpay him, but it's going to be like, if I had to make a guess on what his extension is, there's rumors his extension is going to be $330 million as well. But I can see him getting more. I can see him asking for more than that because of the fact that he's going to say, you know, the Phillies could just pay me more than you're paying me, which is probably a good possibility. And then the Phillies are going to, or not the Phillies, the Angels are going to overreact and pay him. Honestly, I can see them going to $400 million. I really do, because he is their franchise. He is probably their best player they've ever had on the Angels, arguably. And he is their moneymaker. He is their draw. He is their jersey seller. He is everything they ever wanted in a baseball player. So to see him leave would be the worst thing for Anaheim, LA of the earth. So with that being said, I think they're going to have to overpay him in the minds of others. But when it comes down to what they think, if it's overpaying or not, it's going to be worth it because they're going to keep Mike Trout for his career. That's this one I'm assuming is going to be the outcome of this with Harper trying to recruit Mike Trout. This will lead to Mike Trout getting a lot more money from the Anaheim Angels than the, I guess it's the LA Angels of Anaheim. I just think that's so stupid. Compared to the Philadelphia Phillies, it will be a bidding war, but I think ultimately the LA Angels of Anaheim will win out the services of Mike Trout, and he will be an Angel for life. That's just how I see it all going down, because it's going to be hard to have him be let go. And obviously, I don't think he's going to be let go or when he's a free agent. I mean, I don't think he's going to be released mid-season or anything that crazy, but mid-contract at least. But when it comes down to it, they're going to have to pay the man an incredible amount of money for this to go well. So with that being said, I do think that I know the Phillies won the sweepstakes for Bryce Harper. And they arguably had an amazing offseason with other additions, like an old Andrew McCutcheon, they said, for that matter. But, you know, a veteran is veteran, you know. But the question remains, how are they going to do in the regular season? I mean, the spring training just started, so I'm assuming Harper's going to be involved in their spring training now. So we'll see how all that goes. But, you know, there's still just a lot of unanswered questions regarding his run with the Phillies and how it will go in general. So with that being said, we're in a big limbo. Well, maybe not limbo, but we're in a state of uncertainty when it comes to if this is worth it for Bryce Harper. All the trouble they went through to get Bryce Harper. So with that being said, let's look at the other largest contracts by positions, shall we? As Bryce Harper is the highest paid right fielder in history, let's look at the others. Starting with, let's just go catcher. The recently retired Joe Mauer got a $184 million contract by the Twins. The highest paid starting pitcher ever was David Price at $217 million. Then you think of the most expensive closer is Chapman at $86 million. Seems kind of little, all things considered, compared to everyone else's, but still, it's $86 million. How many of you would kill for $86 million? And of course, Miguel Cabrera, the Tigers contract, him at first base is worth $248 million. And then you look at second base, Robinson Cano, I believe that was the Mariners contract, of $240 million. And then the infamous Alex Rodriguez shortstop contract by the Texas Rangers at $252 million. And he ended up with the Yankees because no one else can afford that contract unless the Yankees take it. And honestly, if Harper's contract seems to be too much for Philadelphia and they need to trade him in the next 13 years, he's going to the Yankees. Because, I mean, maybe the Red Sox, the Dodgers, maybe the Giants. I'm just trying to think of teams with high budgets. But the team most likely that would be saying, oh, I would take that contract, is the New York Yankees. So that's just how I see that outcome happening. And then, of course, third base is Manny Machado at $300 million. Manny Ramirez in left field was $160 million. And then Matt Kemp in center field was also $160 million. So Harper and Machado's contract, I guess you could add Stanton's contract as a DH hitter, could be $325 million. Those three, compared to the others, are just almost $100 million more than, well, let's see, $330 compared to, like, All of the infield except for Machado are almost $100 million. He's almost getting $100 million more than they are. And that's just incredible. And then the question is, will we see something more than that? I believe so. And I can see it even going up to $400 million sooner rather than later, you know, when the next big player contract comes into play. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the new rule changes in the MLB. There are potential rule changes, at least, likely to be changed for the year 2020. Be right on that when we return.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Just finished talking about Bryce Harper, and that chapter of this podcast is officially over, and we are able to move on from it. Now we talk about the Major League Baseball is looking to make significant adjustments to freshen up its to change some things when it comes down to the 2020 season. And with those things likely to change, There are some interesting factoids about what they are planning. Well, maybe not factoids, but their plans for the MLB All-Star break. And I guess to make festivities more appealing, I guess. But according to this report by Mike Chiari, if I get the name wrong, I apologize. Or, I'm sorry, according to ESPN's Jeff Passan, two All-Star-related changes are part of the proposed amendment to the collective bargaining agreement that is likely to be ratified by the MLB and MLB Players Association. One of them is the implementation of an All-Star Election Day. In that scenario, normal online star voting will be held, and the top three vote-getters at each position will be added to a second ballot. The All-Star starters would then be determined by who receives the most votes on a single election day. So, I don't really know what that means. So, there's going to be an election day like the presidency? So, I'm going to read this again. All-Star voting will be held, and the top three vote-getters at each position will then be added to a second ballot. Okay? So, they, move on. The All-Star starters would then be determined by who receives the most... Oh, okay. I get it now. So, the top three vote-getters move on to another scenario, or to another election, if you will. And then, with that, they're going to say whoever gets the most votes in from each position will then get the starting jobs. Okay. That kind of makes sense. So, there's two rounds of voting, I guess you can say. Well, there is two rounds of voting if this goes through, which probably will. So, if you get to the second round and you're in the top three of those votes, you have a chance to be the starter with a new set of votes. So, I guess that seems fair with those that are going to be like, if they barely make it in third place in the voting and they can still make it into the starting lineup if they get fair enough with the first votes. I think that's what that's implying. So, with that, I say, well, I like it. I honestly, I'm thinking about it, talking about it. I like the idea. It makes sense in theory. So, I think it could work. I honestly think it could work. There should be no problems with it. And that's not the only thing interesting about the All-Star break that they're planning on doing. They have also, the Players Association and MLB itself have discussed increasing the Home Run Derby prize money to convince more top stars, to take part in the event. So with that, I guess that's pretty cool. So we can get some more, but we already have the best power hitters in the league doing it, Judge and Harper and Stanton. We've had those guys in it before, but maybe they're thinking about getting Mike Trout in it, I guess. I really don't know who else could be in that category. Maybe Puig. I'm just name dropping here to see what could come up of this. But they already have a lot of top guys, I guess, to make it more intriguing and to more competitive. So I don't know how else to really go off of that. But I mean, if I'm the players, I'm like, yeah, give us some more prize money. Why not, right? And I guess that makes people more interested in being a power hitter. This is just an assumption, of course. And with that being said, I guess that makes the All-Star game a little more interesting. I like the Election Day thing, though, more or less than the Home Run Derby thing. But regardless of that... And, when it comes to doing stuff with the Players Association and just working together in the long run just for these little things, it really helps that we don't get a strike again or a lockout, because I think baseball is more synonymous with lockouts and player strikes than any other profession. I mean, football has had its fair share, so has basketball, but not to the extent of where I don't believe any other league has had a cancellation of a championship game or series besides the MLB. In 1994, if I'm not mistaken, they had the a player strike and a lockout so bad that they had to cancel that season and cancel those playoffs, which really disappointed a lot of people, and understandably so, just because of the facts that, you know, it just, that's a big deal to lose all that, you know? So, and then, of course, that was all infamous, like Montreal Expos 1994 season, where I believe they had the best record in the MLB, and they lost a chance at the World Series because of the fact they couldn't play. They couldn't do the World Series in the year they were the best team in the league. So there is also that issue with the what-if scenarios regarding that. And, of course, when you're looking overall at just, that's not the only lockout that's happened. But, again, it's a lockout so severe that they had to cancel a World Series. Like, there's never been a cancellation of a Super Bowl. There's never been a to my knowledge, there's never been a cancellation of the NBA championship. I know there's been a cancellation of a Stanley Cup. I think that was in the 2000 years, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm pretty sure the Stanley Cup cancellation was the most recent one that that didn't crown a champion in a certain year. And I obviously could be completely wrong. Yeah, I have it right here. 2005 was this the 04-05 season in the NHL. That's when the cancellation of that Stanley Cup series happened. So baseball used to have the most recent lockout of a championship series, but now Stanley's had it for the last 14 years. So good for them. Congratulations to the Stanley Cup 2005 season for the lockout. But do I see that happening in the future? A lockout in the MLB where they have a cancellation of the World Series? Let's face it, probably not. There's like a 99% chance that will never happen again. So with that being said, just having the Players Association and the actual MLB itself working together, just in any way, shape, or form, is a good sign to me, just based off like they're working together. They're doing things not behind each other's backs in a sense, you know, like, or not in any controversial ways. So with that, it's one of those things where you're looking at it and it just looks like the relationship is still solid. The relationship is still fine overall. So with that being said, good news there for baseball fans, as for the NFL, there's talk about lockouts the next couple of years, so there's also a problem there. But it doesn't look like it's happening in baseball anytime soon. And so with that being said, I think that with the spring training beginning, and I'm assuming we're going to see Bryce Harper in spring training soon. The next game the Phillies play is actually today at 10 a.m. Pacific time, but I'm not sure if Harper's actually going to play that game. That is a big question mark, but I don't know. I'm assuming he's going to play in the spring training, but again, there's no word on if he is or is not going to. But if he does, that'll be a huge ticket to see, just for spring training. Isn't that crazy? Like, that just shows a draw in itself that Bryce Harper if he does play in the spring training games, he's going to be a massive draw, and that's going to be a huge sell for preseason. So with that being said, he's set to make his string. Oh, here it is. By CBS Sports, he's set to make his spring training debut Saturday against the Blue Jays. So not today, which is, I believe, actually against the Blue Jays, ironically enough. So not today, not tomorrow, not Friday, but Saturday when they play with the Blue Jays once again, they're going to have Bryce Harper play. So Saturday, March, you know why they did that? So people can buy their tickets. You don't want to do it too soon so people can't buy them and get, it's a draw. So you got to promote it. So obviously, Saturday is going to be a huge event in the spring training world, probably the biggest event in the spring training history, to be completely honest with you, based off the fact that it's going to be Bryce Harper in a Phillies uniform for the first time playing in an actual game. And it's nice to see baseball played again, regardless if it's spring training. It's still nice to see people play and that kind of thing. And honestly, when it comes down to like preseason stuff like that, you really never know if that's going to be how the team goes. I mean, there's been so many times where they have a team has an unbelievable preseason or a spring training or whatever you want to call it, not just in baseball, but in any sport, and they just collapse during the regular season. So when it comes down to it, there's going to be question marks regarding what is actually, who is actually going to be making runs in the regular season for playoff supremacy and World Series runs, and who are going to be the fool's gold. There it is. The fool's gold in like, oh, this team's going to be doing really all this off this season after a great spring training, and then they come out and just do nothing. So with that being said, I'm looking forward to seeing how all this turns out. And I'm looking forward if like the, but the main question with the spring training is simple. Is there going to be a repeat of the dominance of the Boston Red Sox? Are the Yankees going to come out and dominate? Are the Phillies going to continue? Like, are they going to live up to the hype and be huge favorites for the National League and into the World Series? They don't have the best odds to win, but they moved up definitely. And their projection wins is 89 wins, which is still kind of small, all things considered, due to the fact they have a very talented team. But again, we really don't know where this is gonna go. And I guess that's the, what's the word? We really don't know where the outcome is gonna be in the National League. But I think when it comes down to the American League, it's still gonna be like the top teams when you're looking at. The Red Sox, the Yankees, you put the Astros up there. And I really, God, who else would I add in the American League besides those three? Even the Tampa Bay Rays, who kind of got jibbed last season because they were underneath the Yankees and the Red Sox. So they kind of got an unfair thing. But they had a pretty darn good record, all things considered. I mean, you could put Cleveland up there too, but they're in a pretty weak divisional things, or pretty weak division, all things considered. So you just have to look at the facts of, like, who's going to take over in the weaker divisions. And obviously Cleveland might be taking their central division after the White Sox disappointingly did not get who they wanted. So they kind of, honestly, the biggest disappointment is probably for the White Sox because they didn't get either Machado or Harper, and they were kind of one of the favorites to get at least one of them. So a huge disappointment for definitely the Chicago White Sox and their fan base. But it looks to me that overall, the handful of teams that are favorites for American League are the Red Sox, Yankees, Cleveland question mark, Houston Astros, and Texas, and the Tampa Bay Rays question mark, because of the fact they had a great season last year. They were just in the unfortunate event of being in the same division as two of the best better teams and the two best teams in the American League. So it's just bad positioning, just bad luck, I guess you can say, with the playoff scenarios and whatnot. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to predict everyone's win-loss record. Or I'm going to look at everyone's prediction of win-loss record and say if it's above or below, in my opinion. I'll be right on that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We're going to go over each team's over-under thanks to Odds Shark. Sorry if I mispronounced that. And basically, we're going to talk about their over-unders and see how those look when it comes down to the regular season. So let's start with, the Phillies because of the fact that, Philadelphia and Washington are both in the NL East. I know people have already figured that as soon as they sign, but I think that's going to be very interesting to see if both those teams do. And I know Harper doesn't lead the NL East, and I guess that's a weaker divisional things considered, but we'll see how it goes. And for 2019, if you're looking at Philadelphia Phillies, their over-under is 84.5. So if I'm a betting man, I'm picking the over on this one. They had a pretty good offseason. Bryce Harper is a game changer. Their pitching rotation's decent. They had a pretty good season last year. They didn't lose any major players. I can see them getting up to 90 wins. I don't see why not. I think that's a very logistic possibility. As for the Washington Nationals, their over-under is 87.5. And I know they picked up a lot of good players in the offseason as well, knowing they were not going to get Bryce Harper, so they try to build a team regardless of him being there. And so they have a very talented team. They've always had a very talented team. I'm not going to take anything away from the Nationals, but I'm going to go on the under on this one. They're in a NL East is getting tougher and tougher. And with that, that's how I see... I don't see the Nationals getting more than 87 wins. I just don't. The Mets are over-under is 84 as well. 84.5. I mean, just make the bet, I guess. I'm not sure how that. I think that's sort of if it's even, you can still get some. But when it comes to the Mets, I really don't know. That's a tough one. I'm going to go under on 84. They didn't have a really good season last year. I mean, that 2015 run seems like to be a fluke, but with how they're set up, it seems like they're still in a rebuild mode, and they're really trusting their farm system, so I'm going to go with under. Atlanta, 83.5, I'm going to go over. They had a fantastic, surprising 90-win season last year, and I think it's going to continue. A lot of people were shocked by how they got 90 wins, but they had a great pitching rotation, some good quality hitters. I mean, nothing like super powerful, but just solid contact hitters that got them on base and got the runs in. That's all you need to win. So I got Atlanta over 83.5, definitely. Miami, 65.5. How Derek Jeter's been handling this team, I'm going to go under on 65.5 because they are looking to, I think they're just looking to save money at this point. And, like, I don't really know what their end goal is, but it doesn't look like it's going to be happening anytime soon. So I'm going to go 65.5. I'm going to go under. St. Louis, 88.5. I might go over on that one. Just St. Louis is always a consistently good team and always doing something right. Their front office is amazing. Their farm system works. And of course, their rotation, their relievers are great. There's really not a lot of holes in the Cardinals team in general. But again, they were disappointing last year, understandably so. But this isn't a team just to be bad 2 years in a row, or disappointing 2 years in a row. So I'm going to go over on the 88.5 and give them like 91 wins. I think that's fair to say. Chicago Cubs at 88.5. apparently CBS Sports did like the they did the season 10,000 times and put it in like a generator, an algorithm, I guess. And they had them above that. So I'm going to go with that machine. And just based off of like Chris Bryant stays healthy and just if this team just stays healthy in general, I'll go over on the 88.5. Milwaukee, 84.5, I'm going to go over. Their run to the NLCS, everyone says was a fluke. I saw a lot of potential. They had a MVP candidate there. They had a great pitching rotation there. They had some good starters, some dirty pitchers over there, all in a good way, of course. And just this team looks like it can make some noise in the future, and I think they're going to be back in the playoffs. I really do. Cincinnati, 77.5, with their acquisition of Matt Kemp and Puig. It seems like that is a win-now kind of move because Puig is in his prime, or maybe a little bad out of his prime, but he's still one of the best. He's still a top, I would say still a top 15, top 20 player. Matt Kemp had kind of revitalized year with his return to the Dodgers last season, but honestly, I don't see him regaining that, if you will. So with that being said, I'm going to say that 80 wins sounds about right. I think roughly they say it says 77.5, but I'll give them 80. I think 80 is good. Pittsburgh 77.5, you know, under. Just there's nothing. That team is in a serious rebuild mode, and their rebuilding is not doing too well with a lot of injuries and just bad luck. So under 77.5 definitely. Dodgers, 94.5, the highest in the National League. And so with that, I'll go with even. Or I can't go even. So I'll go 94.5. I'll say they'll get 96 wins, so I'll go over. I'll go over on that. Colorado, 82.5. They had a kind of a Cinderella run in the play. Oh, not really a Cinderella run, but they got into the playoffs. But, you know, I'll take that over. I'll take 85 wins for them. San Diego, 78.5 with the addition of Manny Machado. Will that increase? I say they will at least get 81 wins. I don't see it being like this huge turnaround for them yet. They still need some work to do, so I'll give them that. Arizona, 77.5. I'll say 79 wins, so I'll give them the over. But when it comes to San Francisco, 73.5, I'll go under. That team's just not looking good. In a serious rebuilding time. Of course, what happened to their CEO, which we'll talk about at the break. But that is the NL list of projection wins. And mainly for the American League, that is. The most important story for the American League is the Astros. Vegas believes the Astros will win most games in the league just ahead of the Red Sox and Yankees. The Astros are still a very dangerous team with a lot of good hitting and some good quality pitching that can get them to win those games, those tightly contested games. So I can definitely see that happening. But, you know, I don't see them making it to the playoffs. I think it's still going to be a Yankees-Red Sox run for the American League Championship. So we'll see how all that goes. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about a CEO attacking his wife. We'll get more on that when we return.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. You can check out the sports podcast in our other channels. But we got some weird news coming from the San Francisco Giants. And it's not on-the-field stuff or moving on the rosters or anything like that. It's actually about their CEO, Larry Bear. He's taken a leave of absence after a video surfaced recently of him knocking down his wife to the ground. But I believe it was inadvertent. It didn't look like he didn't forcibly shove her to the ground. She just kind of stumbled to the ground. But he still came after her a little bit. But here's the story. If you haven't seen it, there's a video of it. They're having an argument in the middle of just these random chairs. I don't know where they were, just in the middle of San Francisco, I guess. And they were having this argument. And she had his phone, supposedly. I think it was his phone or her phone. I'm not sure which one. I think it was his phone. And he kind of tried to grab the phone forcefully from her. And she fell to the ground and kind of screamed bloody murder. Like, in a sense, like, she was getting brutally beaten. But in the reality, that's not really how that went. He did come after her violently, I would say that. And I think she was just, I'm not going to say anything negative about that. But I will say more along the lines of, it was just a disturbing moment. Just looking at a man and a wife arguing like that, she falls to the ground. She apparently had an old leg injury. That's why she was on the ground. But he wasn't really, like, she was screaming. He wasn't stopping until he forcefully pulled the phone out of her hand and then walked away from the scene. So, obviously, it did not look good for the CEO of the San Francisco Giants. And he takes his leave of absence after this negative light has surfaced. I don't think you should ever put your hands on a woman in an aggressive matter like that. I don't think there should be any excuse for it. And it looks like he almost got busted. It sounds like he was getting busted for something. She had his phone or something of that nature. And again, the video is on, I'm assuming it's on YouTube. It's on everywhere. So if you want to check it out and see what it's all about, be my guest. It's not like he was violently beating her or anything. It was just I would just say it's an altercation, which is still like, it puts it into him in a bad light, puts the whole situation in a bad light. Just it's a man kind of overpowering a woman. So it's not very disturbing, but it just, the facts of it is just, it doesn't look good for the CEO. I can see him losing his part in the part of the organization of the San Francisco Giants. He could probably get fined by the MLB, and there could be a lot of repercussions for him. And just puts a really dark light on the whole Giants organization in general. So there is no winners in this contest when you're looking at it in the long run, based off this incident. So, with that being said, and the disappointment that transpired by it, I guess you can say, this kind of is almost a sign of, maybe that's the wrong word. It's just it's a sign of, I don't want to use the word sign, but it's just, it puts a bad light on the San Francisco Giants, and it kind of shows just some negative aspects of that front office. And maybe, like, it just kind of shows the negative part of some people that have power in this world. And let's face it, if you're a CEO, an owner of a sports franchise that's multi-billion dollars worth, it's going to get to your head. I think it'll get to anyone's head, honestly. It's just, that's just the terms. So when it comes to greed and all that other aspects. But it's my personal opinion. And hopefully that will, hopefully this will all just blow over. He'll obviously get a fine at least. We'll see if that becomes more. But whatever punishment it is, it probably will seem fair in the long run. But we will see what the future holds for the, well, possible, no longer CEO of the San Francisco Giants. We'll see however that turns up. But that should be our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining us, and please tune us in next week as we will have the debut of Bryce Harper in a Phillies uniform in the spring training game on Saturday against the Toronto Blue Jays. But until then, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.